This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, September 18th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, what major political donors have to say about the money they give to campaigns. We'll have a look at our weather for the week ahead as well with AM 580 meteorologist Mike Sola. First, a look at today's news. Neither Democratic Governor Raul Blagojevich nor his Republican opponent Judy Barr Topinka will get help from two of the state's most powerful labor unions. The Illinois Education Association and the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees have opted not to endorse in this year's race for governor. The teachers' union cited displeasure with the candidates' plans to fund schools. AFSCME, which represents government employees ranging from office holders to office workers to prison guards, says both Blagojevich and Topinka have shown no effort to change the tax system. But AFSCME's Anders Lindahl says despite the lack of an endorsement in the governor's race, the union will remain active in other contests.
No one should think that this means that AFSCME is taking a pass or sitting on the sideline.
AFSCME and the IEA will provide help through money and volunteers to those candidates they're supporting. Both endorsed Blagojevich in the previous race for governor. Rob Blagojevich's running mate, meanwhile, says an ethics law passed under the governor's leadership is a great tool for ferreting out wrongdoing in government. But the Republican candidate for lieutenant governor says that same law has the opposite effect, and he wants it changed. Amanda Vinicky has more.
In 2003, on the heels of former Governor George Ryan being indicted for corruption, Illinois passed an ethics law, a cornerstone of the package pushed by the newly elected Democratic Governor Rod Blagojevich, created the new Office of Inspector General, an independent agency charged with investigating internal fraud and abuse. Blagojevich's running mate, Pat Quinn, says the law is comprehensive in catching wrongdoing in state government.
If there's any question about anything, it can be investigated by the Inspector General and the facts will come out.
But the GOP nominee for Lieutenant Governor, Joe Burkett, says if elected, one of his first missions would be to get a different law passed.
The current Ethics Act, I call it the Government Corruption Protection Act.
Under current law, if the Inspector General finds a possible crime, the alleged office committing it is notified and given a chance to improve. The situation's not made public, and law enforcement doesn't have to be notified. Burkett says that gives officials time to conspire and cover up their behavior. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Now that Indiana has erased a $600 million budget deficit, many state legislators are talking about spending money in the next legislative session. Senate Appropriations Chairman Robert Meeks, a Republican, says both Republicans and Democrats are joining the fray, and he's likely trying to discourage it. There are proposals for full-day kindergarten, expanded health care coverage, an end to Indiana's sales tax on gasoline, expanded hours at state license branches, and more. Indiana's coffers are far from overflowing. The state is projected to end its two-year budget cycle next June with only $160 million in its main checking account. And Governor Mitch Daniels wants to build up the state's reserves and ensure the next state budget is balanced. Illinois' largest private health insurer, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, is changing its position and now says it'll cover a more expensive type of radiation therapy for breast cancer patients. A number of physicians have been lobbying for the change, noting that Medicare and Blue Cross Blue Shield health plans in many other states did pay for the partial breast radiation therapy called Mammocyte. It costs about $2,500 more than standard radiation. Mammocyte uses a balloon-tipped catheter to deliver radiation at the tumor site while sparing surrounding tissue, another advantage that appealed to many patients. After a $14.5 million renovation, Bloomington's Center for the Performing Arts is over its opening night jitters. Over the weekend, the center hosted a ribbon-cutting and musical gala for its debut. And the audience reviews are in on the 18-month renovation to the former Scottish Rite Temple, and they're good. For one, Larry Carius of Bloomington called it wonderful. The Performing Arts Center is part of the city's downtown cultural district. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. With Illinois campaign season in full swing, political contributions are once again in the news. Democratic Governor Raul Blagojevich and Republican challenger Judy Barr Topinka have been slugging away at each other with charges of pay-to-play politics. Each one says the other has been trading influence in state business for donations and cash. Politicians often answer questions about donations, but what about the donors themselves? What do people and companies expect to get by giving large amounts of money? Illinois Public Radio's Ben Calhoun reports.
Cindy Canary with the Illinois Campaign for Political Reform says the late Illinois Senator Paul Simon told her a story about money in politics. As politicians go, Paul Simon had a reputation as a pretty straight arrow. But Simon said he remembered a day during his time in the Senate.
You know, he's out all day doing all this. He gets back to his hotel room. It's about 11 o'clock. He's handed a big old stack of messages.
So Simon starts looking through them to see who's called.
You know, they're from all different people. And one of them's from a contributor who's given a couple of $1,000s.
Because it's late, Simon has to decide who to call back. And he says, if it's one person,
I'm going to call the person who gave me the money.
In his autobiography, Simon says the moral of the story is that people with money get access, and access equals influence. It's something politicians face a lot of questions about, especially in a state like Illinois, which is often called the Wild West of campaign finance because the rules here are so lax. But if you dig down to the root of this issue, it's as much about the donors as it is about the politicians. In fact, it really begins with the people who are contributing, why they're giving, and what they expect to get in return. But while major donors have to make some basic information public, they rarely have to explain why they're giving. Cindy Canary says there's lots of reasons people give. It could be as simple as,
you believe in whatever the political philosophy of the candidate is.
Or,
the prestige of, you know, getting on the Christmas card list.
Or it might be a little more spicy, like, say you want
a little bit of access.
But Canary studies this stuff. And dollar for dollar, she says most political donations come from people, groups, companies that
really give money because they want doors to open for them, to get the ear of the candidate.
Canary and I crunched through public records of political donations, taking an extra hard look at three types of contributions that beg the question why. The three categories: donors that plain old gave a lot of money, donors that gave to both candidates in one race, and just regular people who gave more than it looks like they should be able to afford.
For the life of me, I can't tell you why a 7-Eleven owner in California would want to give $1,000 to an Illinois candidate.
And so I started with private citizens. People who gave what seemed like a lot of money for their listed professions. That included people like Varsha and Bindish Patel, Dunkin' Donuts owners who gave Rod Blagojevich $22,000 in May, Kazimira Bober, who owns a deli, and gave Judy Bar Topinka $4,000 during the first 6 months of the year. But with more than two dozen calls to eight different contributors, mostly what I got was some of this.
This is just a bad time.
Some of this.
Okay, and you're with the public
radio. And some of this. And so, the quest into the psyche of the political donor continued without help from my fellow citizens. Organizations that had donated large amounts in this year's race for governor were next on the list. Several repeatedly refused to talk before the Service Employees International Union, or SEIU, agreed to an interview. In Illinois' race for governor, the union's become the number one donor, with over $900,000 given to Blagojevich in the last 2 years. Tom Balanoff, who heads the Illinois branch of the union, says the reasoning is simple.
To build a stronger political voice for our members and for workers in general, particularly service workers.
But about the amount, why so much, and was it worth it?
The reality of it is what's happened to the whole political process here in the United States. And unfortunately, it takes massive amounts of money to get people elected.
Now, you said unfortunately.
I wish there was a much better set of rules in terms of public financing of elections, you know, so we had more people could run for office.
There might be somebody who'd say, by participating in it, you're reinforcing the way that it is.
Well, I mean, that's a real catch-22 because, we're going to be against it, so we're not going to participate, which means we're not going to have a political voice for our members. So, you know, we didn't set the rules, but we obviously have to play by the rules.
Balanoff stayed away from specifics about what SEIU expects to get for its money, but he says he thinks what the union does is pretty straightforward. It sets an agenda, finds candidates that agree, and then supports them. But if you comb through Illinois' top donors, large amounts aren't the only attention getter.
Thank you for calling the Illinois Hospital Association.
The Illinois Hospital Association is one of several groups that raise even more questions. Not only has the IHA given a lot of money in this year's race for governor, it's one of at least four different major donors that's given to both major party candidates, something that could look like buying access to whoever wins.
Well, you have to look closer at the contributions.
Howard Peters is Senior VP of Government Relations at the IHA. Peters says the contributions might look funny to some people, but to him, the key is the timing. He says the IHA will give to both Republicans and Democrats in the primary, like it has with Blagojevich and Topinka, but when it comes to the general election, the association will side with one.
In those two primaries, we contributed to the person that we thought most represented the kind of issues and concerns that the hospital community had and that we thought should come out of that particular primary.
So the way Peters explains the IHA's contributions is that it gives in the primaries, hoping to create a general election where all candidates support its interests. The other major donors that recently gave to both Blagojevich and Topinka include Archer Daniels Midland, the Illinois State Medical Society, and the law firm Mayer Brown Rowe and Maw. All three refused to answer questions about their contributions. But even with a couple groups willing to discuss their donations, one question was still hanging. Is there an actual set of privileges that donors expect? A quid pro quo?
Well, I don't want to deny that there's a certain quid pro quo going along with the dictionary definition.
Taylor Pensino is the former president of the Illinois Coal Association, where he was the group's top lobbyist in Springfield for 15 years.
With few exceptions, every member of the General Assembly, every state rep, every senator repeatedly flooded my office with requests for contributions.
Pensino says, without a doubt, major donors do expect to get phone calls returned.
You can pretty much assume there would be a response, fairly prompt, but certainly a response.
Well, Pensino says, as a rule, the Coal Association didn't make contributions close to votes. He does say that donations also come with a clear expectation that lawmakers are going to consistently vote your interest. And if they don't, is that the kind of thing that'll get somebody crossed off the list next time around?
You mean cross off the contribution list?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would be less than honest if I would say otherwise.
When I asked Pensino whether he thinks that's a bad system, he said no. He thinks there are problems, but over the course of his career, he says things have definitely gotten better. The big change he points to is the fact that donations are now public information, which means anyone is free to look at them and ask why. I'm Ben Calhoun.
Well, our late weekend rain is moving away, but our warm temperatures aren't going to be coming back for a few days at the very least. Below normal temperatures in the forecast for this week, according to AM580's Mike Sola, who says for today in Illinois, it'll be mostly cloudy with scattered showers in the south and east this morning, then partial clearing during the afternoon. In Indiana, scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms through mid-afternoon, then mostly cloudy. The highs today ranging from only 63 in far northwest Illinois to 77 in southeast Indiana. Tonight, a few lingering showers will take place in southeast Indiana, but partly cloudy elsewhere with patchy fog developing across the two states, the lows from 43 in northern Illinois to 52 in southeast Indiana. For tomorrow, in far northern Indiana, widely scattered afternoon showers, but elsewhere across Illinois and Indiana, partly to mostly sunny, and highs from 52 degrees in far northwest Illinois to near 70 in the far south, and partly to mostly cloudy skies and below normal temperatures will reign over Wednesday and Thursday, with highs Wednesday mostly in the 60s, and highs Thursday in the 60s north and central sections with 70s in the south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, September 18th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.